All right, good evening, everyone. Hopefully everyone is having a blessed evening as we are. As we'd always like to say, praise the Lord. Thank the Lord for yet another day in the land of the living and another chance to get our acts together. Today is April 18th, 2024, in week 272. If you're new around here, welcome to Joy in the Midst of the Storm. This is a program where we like to do weekly live stream Bible studies and shortly upload audio versions to every major podcast platform shortly thereafter. If you've been with us for a while, as we always like to say, welcome back. Thank you guys for tuning in and week out, trying to hear what thus says the Lord. And we do have three early comments so far. David says, good evening, everyone, and God bless you in Jesus' name. Hope everyone is having a great day in the Lord. Casey says, praise the Lord, brothers and everyone. Hopefully everyone is having a blessed day in Christ. God bless. And Susie says, good evening to all. So good evening to you three and praise the Lord. Thank you so much for tuning in and being amongst the early comments. So as you can see from the title, it says faith and patience. Without any further ado, I'm going to pass it over to Minister Tony Banks. We can go ahead and get started with this evening's message. As always, we pray that you guys get something out of it. And Jeremy just said good evening and blessings. So praise the Lord. Good evening to you too. So now without any further ado, I'm going to pass it on over. I pray that you guys get something out of it and learn to apply these things learned to our daily lives. So in the hands of Minister Banks.
Thank you, Melvin. Let us go into a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you first and foremost, Lord. We come before you to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything you did for us, Lord. We thank you for how you've continued to lead and guide us into all truth, how you continue to watch over us, how you've protected us, even the things that you've allowed us to go through, Lord. We thank you that those things did not take us out, Lord. Those things still, they were your will. And so we appreciate you for that, Lord. We understand that all things work together for the good. All things work together for the good. According to your will, if we find ourselves in the group of people who love you, Lord, we understand that it all works out for us in the end. So, Lord, we thank you for those things, Lord. We're praying that no matter what happens to us in this life, continually remind us that there is a reason to have joy in the midst of every storm, trial, and tribulation. Lord, we're praying for the Bible study tonight that your word would go forth and that you alone would increase and that we would all decrease. Lord, we want to hear from you, Lord. We want to grow in you, Lord. That's why we do these things. And so keep us in our right minds, Lord. Keep us humble. Keep us doing everything that we need to do, Lord. Help us to examine ourselves, Lord, to see ourselves, to find where we are going astray, Lord, so that we can correct ourselves and return unto you. Lord, we're praying all these blessings in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
God bless each of you tonight. As always, we do appreciate your presence. We appreciate your comments, your likes, your shares, whatever it is that you do to add value to this program. We appreciate that. This is joy in the midst of the storm because God knows there are so many storms that take place in life. And now you might be thinking we are talking about the thunderstorm, the rainstorm. We are not. However, those things apply from a physical standpoint. There are things that we endure, things that we go through. But even if you do take a thunderstorm, there's still a reason to have joy. You know, even I know a lot of times, Melvin, we plan activities, we plan to do certain things, certain events outside. And when we find out it is raining, we become so disappointed. We become upset. We become frustrated. But there's still joy that we should find even in the midst of our plans being changed, even in the midst of the rainy weather, because the truth is we need the rain. The truth is if God sees fit to give it, we need it. We might not always understand, but if we find ourselves, and I've said this before, but you know, I thank God that I'm not God. And you guys ought to thank God that I'm not God. I thank God that you guys are not God, because if I continually heard the murmuring and the complaining and the just the negativity that came from the people, you know, us who God created, you know, he created us according to his pleasure, according to his plan and his purpose, and to hear all of the complaining when God has been more than good. He's been better than good. He's been better than any word that we could ever come up with, any word in the thesaurus, any word in Webster's dictionary. God is better than all of those things. And to hear all of the complaining, I say, you know what? If you're complaining about the rain, Melvin, I just say, you know what? It won't rain for another 5 years. For another 10 years, you won't get rain. And at that point, I can guarantee you we'd be begging for the rain, regardless of what it is that we plan to do outside. As a matter of fact, we wouldn't even be able to go outside because it would be so incredibly hot. There would be no vegetation. No grass would grow. The trees wouldn't grow. Nothing would grow. Our food would not grow. And so we'd be pleading with God and begging with him, Lord, just let it rain one more time, at least, please, something. So, you know, we ought to think about these things when we find ourselves complaining, when we find ourselves upset due to life's circumstances. There's always a reason to have joy in the midst of every problem that we're facing. And so I just wanted to say that before we get into the Bible study tonight, because it's important that we approach everything from the right state of thinking. Your mind, your thoughts, your thinking, if they are in the wrong place, you can't accomplish much. You can't get to where God really wants you to be. You know, any situation you face in life, if you have the right attitude, the right mind, that's why the scripture says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If we would just get a hold of that right mind, that's what the King David prayed. He prayed for his mind to be renewed, his mind to be in the right spirit. That's what he prayed for, because God knows there's some things in this world that can put you in the wrong spirit. That's what Jesus told his disciples. There's some things that people do to you, Melvin, they say about you. Things we see on TV, we say, man, that just made me so upset. Sometimes people say, that just ruined my whole day. You shouldn't allow things to ruin your whole day. Look, I get upset just like you. The Bible, in fact, tells us, be angry and sin not. You can get angry, but you've got to stay in the right state of mind, even when you're angry. That's a hard thing for us to do. Sometimes people say, I've got an anger problem. Well, if your mind is transformed by God, he'll get rid of your anger problem. He will help you overcome the anger, whatever it is. He will help us to still have joy in the midst of the anger. So we're going to deal with faith tonight. We're really already talking about it. But I want to make it as plain as I possibly can. By the grace of God, we're going to deal with faith and patience, because these are two essential things, two necessary things that we need as people of God. See, I want to be a child of God. I appreciate the family that I was born into. That's all nice. I appreciate the things that they have did for me. But I had to be born into a new family. And this family was the family of Christ. And in this family, see, I come from the black neighborhood, Melvin. And somebody comes from the white neighborhood. Somebody comes from the Russian neighborhood. Somebody comes from the Turkish neighborhood. But once we are born into Christ, the Bible tells us old things are passed away. All things are made new. We're all born into his family, becoming his children. And so I thank God he loves us all equally. So let's get into it tonight, Melvin, because if we don't, we'll still be trying to get into it by the end of the Bible study. In the book of James, chapter 1, I just thank God tonight because he is an incredible God. Regardless of what I face, regardless of what I endure, God is still worthy to be praised. And so it seems like I can't leave that right now. If you could just get in the right mind. It's all about your mindset. See, people get in the wrong mind a lot, Melvin. We'll be driving down the road and somebody will slow us down. And our mind is what's really bothered. That's what's really bothered there, our mind. If we would get in the right state of mind, having that mind of Christ, we wouldn't be so bothered. You might get upset for a moment, and then you come to yourself as the prodigal son. See, that's what God is desiring to do for us. Even though we might lose ourselves in a moment, even though we might get angry, even though we might get sad, even though we might get frustrated, even though we might get depressed, how long do you stay that way? How long does it take you to come back to yourself, to get back in the right place that you should be? It's our minds that is having this problem. It's our minds. So, Melvin, let's pick it up. In the book of, what did I tell you? James chapter 1, verse 3. Let's see what it says. James chapter 1, verse 3.
Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience.
Knowing this. See, we need to know this. James says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. See, we're dealing with a mindset. Faith and patience is a mindset. It is a mindset. The difference between someone without faith and someone with it is they think differently. The one that has faith, they say, I believe in God. I believe God to do this. I believe God to deliver me. The one without faith, they say, I don't believe in God. I don't believe he can do this. It's a mindset. That's all we're dealing with. When we really get down to it, the Bible tells us faith. I don't believe it's in this chapter, but he said, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is, it is the evidence of things not seen. When a person has faith, there ought to be some evidence. Bible said, even James, in the book of James, he said, faith without works is dead because it has no evidence. You've got to have evidence of things. If I tell you I'm a police officer, the next thing you're thinking is, let me see some evidence. You want to see my badge. Look, if I pull somebody over and I say I'm a police officer, they want to see my badge. They want to see what qualifies me as an officer. They want to see something. God is no different. We can't fool God. Telling him we're a child of God and we have no evidence. We have no badge. We have nothing that shows him, that we are his children. So he said, faith without works is dead. But James here, he says, knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience. You know, I don't enjoy being tried. It makes me think about people when you have a bully or anybody really, and sometimes people just pick on another person. And the person who's being picked on says, they're really trying me. They're really testing me. Nobody wants to be tried in that way. Even what we're dealing with here, our faith, you know, a prayer I prayed last year was that I wanted God to increase my faith. What I was really praying was, God, I need you to try me. God, I need you to put me through tests. I really, now, Melvin, I don't think, I don't think any of us would say that in that way. I don't think people would get down. Now, somebody might do it, especially as you get higher and higher. You might, peradventure, you just might do it. But I like to think most of us are not praying and saying and telling God, God, I want you to try me. God, I want you to put me through some tests. I just don't believe people are saying that, Melvin. Now, somebody might come in and say that they actually do pray that. So be on the lookout for that, Melvin, if somebody says it. But I'm going to believe that nobody's going to put down in the chat and actually mean it and not lie about it and say, you know what, I'm asking God to test me. I'm asking him to put me through the fiery trials. But that's what he's going to do. Go back up to the verse above this, Melvin. Let's go back up to verse 2.
My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations.
Now, look at what he said. He said, my brethren, he's talking to the church, to the body of Christ, man and woman. He's talking to us. And he says, have joy in the midst of a storm. That's what he's telling us. Have joy in the midst of your trials, even though you're going through it, even though you're suffering, even though you're tired, even though you're fatigued. He said, don't get weary in well-doing. Even though you're having a tough time and you're looking around and everybody else just seems to be living their best life. Not a problem in the world. Seems like they never have problems. It's nothing but an illusion. Somebody told me something similar to that one time. That couldn't be. I know the devil had to put that thought in the person's mind. Because God knows he's putting me through all types of tests. But he tells me you can have joy even though you're being tested. And then he follows it up and tells us that the trying of your faith is working on something. See, there's a reason people tell us their patience is thin. They don't have much patience. They can't wait for too long. You know, Melvin, let's actually run somewhere else. I want to come back here. Let's run somewhere else real quick. Go to Hebrews. Or no, 2 Peter. I believe I want to go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5.
And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, mm-hmm. and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience.
See, he's wanting us to add to our faith. Now, God, I believe God is going to bless me to deal with, to really deal with this chapter or these particular verses, but not at this present moment because I really want to get somewhere else. But he says, add to your faith. There are some things we've got to add to faith, but we first have to get faith. Jesus dealt with his disciples. He said, O ye of little faith. We're in a position where we start out with a little faith. We love to use the story of Jesus telling about the grain of mustard seed. If we could just have that amount of faith. And that sounds good. But you know what? He said, add to. See, we've got to get the whole message of the scripture. He wants us to add to. His disciples had a little faith, but he continued to deal with them because it was not enough faith. See, we have some faith in God. We believe him for some things, but we don't believe him for all things. See, we might as well be honest with ourselves. Sometimes, Melvin, people try to fool you. They try to fool you into thinking they just really believe God. but it's shown in our actions. We don't truly believe God like we ought. That's why even myself, I'm saying, God, increase my faith. I know I need to believe in you more. I might believe in you for some things, but can I believe in you for all things? That's the question. He said, add to your faith. Add to it. It's not enough by itself. See, the reality is tonight, you can have, first, he told us, without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's what the scripture tells us now. He tells us also, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder to those that diligently seek him. You've got to first believe he is God. Believe that he will reward you. Believe that he's going to do something for you. See, I refuse to believe in a God that can't do anything for me. So we've got to believe in God to do something for us. And after we do that, he tells us to add to that faith. That's why we're in Bible studies. That's why we're studying his word. The Bible tells us faith comes by hearing. And we have to hear the word of God. That's why we're here, to increase our faith, to increase every day more and more in faith. But you know what? There are some people with no faith in God. There are some people with faith in God. They have a level of faith. Everybody has a certain measure of faith. After we've gotten that measure of faith, we just read, he tells us to add to our faith. And he begins to name so many things: virtue, knowledge, temperance, add all these things. You know, I don't want to deal with all those right now. But I really want to deal with patience. Because that is something that God has been laying on my mind. See, a person can have a certain measure of faith without having patience. That's why he said add. See, you don't add something if it's already there. He's telling us add patience to our faith. So why are we still walking around telling people, yeah, my patience is thin. Yeah, I can't take too much. I'm impatient. Why are we proud of that? If he's telling us to add patience, God recognizes your patience is thin. And now he's telling you add to your faith some patience. He's saying add that. He says he's acknowledging the same thing we're acknowledging. We don't have any. So he says, fine, add some. See, God is straightforward with us, Melvin. He's going to shoot it straight with us. People beat around the bush. People lie. People pretend. But we're dealing with faith and patience. Because you can have some faith with no patience. Sometimes people especially when it comes to us eating, when people have a job or whatever it is, you might have been busy, you might have been tied up. But I've seen it happen, especially at jobs. When people can't eat, when people feel, oh, I'm missing my lunch, oh, I haven't had food, they get more and more upset. And they begin to take it out on everybody around them. Because they're feeling, look, I need to have something to eat. You know, the Bible tells us to fast and pray. You know, fasting is not only working on your faith, but also your patience. It's working on, look, sometimes people want to cheat a fast, man. They want to call a fast something that's not a fast. We want to cheat everything God tells us to do. He tells us to fast with nothing. No food, no water, no juice, no apple cider, no none of this stuff we want to do. And we want to talk about the Daniel fast. It was not a fast. All he did was, he didn't want the king stuff. That was not a fast. He rejected what the king said. When you don't see Jesus come down here talking about he was doing a Daniel fast. No, that's something we created. What he called a fast, he took nothing. No food, no water, no juice, no soda pop. He took nothing. And we, because we have no patience, we say, I just can't do that. I've got to have something. But don't you realize the trying of your faith, it's working on your patience. So that in situations, we can now be patient. Let me tell you what I mean. See, God, he put me in a position and told me to fast. And I know without a doubt, the fastings that I have did in my life, they have helped me to grow in patience. I'm not telling you I'm the most patient person in the world. But I know I have added some that I used to not have. That's all it's about, being better than what we used to be. You know, I mentioned being in traffic. See, we get so frustrated in traffic because of the lack of patience. In our minds, we feel they just stopped us from getting to where we were going to go. Now it's going to take us somehow an hour more. All they did was pull in front of you. And now instead of you going 65 miles an hour when you were supposed to be going 55 anyway, instead of you going over the speed limit, all they did was slowed you down so that now you're going to speed limit. And we feel they just put us an hour behind. See, our minds, we've got the wrong perception of things. We need to fast more. We need to endure some situations more where now you have to have patience. Because he tells us to add to it. You know, Jesus, he said, when the Son of Man returns, shall he find faith on earth? You know, I wonder, when he returns, is he also going to find patience? I'm not talking about when you're forced to do something. See, there's some situations I'm forced to be in right now, Melvin. And God knows if I had the choice, I'd end it right now. We might as well be honest. But there's still, patience is how you deal with situations that you're in. See, if I'm in traffic, since I'm using that example here, and someone pulls in front of me, is it really showing my patience saying, man, what are y'all idiots doing? Ah, man, this. See, people can't drive. And then I go on for 20 minutes about how someone can't drive. I'm blowing my horn at them. I'm rushing all behind them. Is that really showing patience? See, patience is shown in our actions. Faith is shown in our actions. So we're told, add to faith. We've got to add patience. this is something God is dealing with me on. You know, if we would learn patience, you know, the things we're trying to hurry up and solve, the problems we're trying to hurry up and fix, you know, we can't fix those problems like God can. All we can do is mess things up worse. There's so many times we get in situations and we try to resolve it to the best of our ability, not seeking God to resolve it, not asking Him to help us. We just jump in there, not thinking, being rash, and we make a situation worse than what it was to begin with. Because of the lack of patience. Because we're not waiting on God, there are things we want in life. Sometimes people want a new car, a new house, a new phone, new this, new that. And we don't have patience to wait on God. As soon as we hear it's hitting the market, we say, "Oh, I've got to have it. I can't wait a day." One of the toughest things, the best and worst things that has come out for us as it relates to receiving our mail is two-day delivery. One-day delivery, two-day delivery. Worst thing that happened to us. And the best thing. Because it's created in us this sensation, this feeling of not having patience. Something we really don't even need. Something we can survive without. But because they told us, Melvin, we can get it in 2 days. And now it's been 3 days. We said, man, I just can't take it. I'm going to have to drive up somewhere and pick it up myself. Not because we had to have it, just because of the impatience within us. You know, we would have had a hard time. Suppose God, now He's not going to do this, but suppose we're living in what century are we? 21st century? Mm-hmm. Suppose us in the 21st century, God swapped us and sent us back. See, we love watching all these movies anyway. Suppose God caused us to travel time. And you didn't go forward now. You went backwards into the 15th century, into the 14th century. Suppose God took you back to the year 1000. Suppose God took you back where we didn't have these things, but now you've got a custom. Now you're used to the cell phone. You can send a message and it gets there in 2 seconds. And you can see it's delivered. You can see when they read it. Suppose God took us back. We'd be in a miserable place. You talk about doing some praying, Melvin. We'd be praying to God every day. God, please take me back. This God, I know I said I would, if I was back there in the days of the flood, I know I said I would have gotten in the ark, God, but please take me back. I don't want to be back. You mean to tell me I don't have a cell phone? I don't have internet. I don't have a shower, an upright shower now. I don't have a faucet that I can run water. I've got to travel to the well. You mean to tell me now I'm outside all the time? I'm living in tents. I'm living in these homes. See, we're complaining about trailer homes and mobile homes and all of these other type of homes that's not this brick house or this mansion. These people couldn't, you know, those people from those times would have been so grateful for a trailer home, for a mobile home. Look at our faith and patient level. He says those things were written for our learning, to learn something. God had the people in the wilderness. This was a journey that took 40 years. They were out there for 40 years, and it should have taken them about 11 days. to make it to the promised land. God is trying to work on our patience. He's showing us by putting us in situations where we stand. People always say, the Lord knows my heart. He knows it, but we don't know our heart. We don't realize we have no patience. We don't realize we don't have the faith that we should have in Him. That's why I'm praying, Lord, add to me. I know I need more, God. I need you to add to me knowledge, temperance. I'm not going to deal with those things right now, but God, I know I need you to add to me. Some people, we're too proud to even ask God to add these things. We feel we've already made it. We're already good enough because somebody said they've accepted Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. You hadn't accepted Him yet. You're just claiming Him. But does He claim you? He said, add patience to your faith. You got to add some things here. God is about addition. He's about making a profit. That's all a profit is. Making a profit is adding things. That's why these people are after our money, Melvin. All these, these people prophesying to you, talking about how God's going to bless you with this and He's going to bless you with that. If you just type in the chat, new car, God's going to bless you with a new car. Somebody just trying to add a profit in their pocket. That's all they're doing. Somebody's trying to make some money off of you, making merchandise, the Bible says. So, Melvin, let's go. I want to pick up something in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, and verse 35.
Cast not away. Excuse me. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward.
Don't throw away your faith. That's what He's telling us. Faith is nothing but confidence in God. Confidence that God is going to do something for you. That's why I'm asking God, increase me. Lord, increase my faith. I want to believe You're going to do what You promised. No matter how it looks, no matter how dark it gets, God, I still want to hold on to the belief that You're going to do what You've said. He said, cast not away, therefore, your faith, your confidence. Don't throw it away. That's why we're dealing with this tonight. Because someone is going to throw away their confidence. It's a sad thing. Now, people are going to fool you and say, once you get saved, you're always going to be saved. If that were so, why in the world would the scripture say what it's saying here? He says you can cast it away. In fact, He's telling us, don't do it. Why? Because He's already seen people do it. He's already seen someone do it. So don't throw away your faith. Keep holding on to what God has said, even when other people walk away. Read for us, Melvin.
For ye have need of patience.
Read that again for us, Melvin.
For ye have need of patience.
Yet again, we find faith and patience. He's trying to get us to add this to our repertoire. I think that's a nice word there, Melvin. He's trying to get us to add this to our arsenal, to our patience. Look, patience is a weapon. It is a weapon. You know, I remember there was a time where I was I'll tell this story. There was a time where I was trying to open up a bank account, and I probably spent probably 3-4 hours sitting at the bank on two occasions, and also even tried to open it up at my house, of which also there was travel time, I think about 15, 20 minutes to get to the bank one way. So out of all this time, I don't know how much time it cost me, but I remember the guy when he was, he finally got it to work over the course of probably about 2 weeks, finally got it to work. And he said, man, there's no way I would have did all this. I would have gave up. He told me this now, Melvin. He said, man, I just would have gave up. But you know, patience is a weapon. Patience is something, if you have, you can receive some things other people never will receive. Jesus told us in one place, he said, in your patience, possess ye your souls. He said, you can save your life if you just have patience. How many times have we seen car accidents because someone didn't have patience? How many times have people lost their lives in arguments because someone didn't have patience? We make so many bad decisions due to the lack of patience. See, there's a reward in patience. That's why he's telling us to add it. He's trying to prosper us, to help us be successful in all things. We're not just talking about going to heaven. You see, we think this Bible is only about going to heaven. He's talking about way more than that. You've got to learn to have patience in all things. See, how can you have patience in believing in God, but you don't have patience in traffic? You don't have patience to wait on God to bless you with money to pay your bill. See, they all go hand in hand. How can you have patience to believe in God, but you don't have patience to wait on God to bring you a spouse? See, there are people, we're wanting all these things. People want a child. How can you have patience toward God, but you're running around trying to be with any and everybody who smiles at you? See, patience will save you from a lot of problems. Sometimes people get upset at the church they attend, and because of a lack of patience, someone says, you know what? I'm out of here. The pastor has made me mad. This brother or sister over here, they did something. They made me mad. I'm out of here. So someone loses patience and they leave the church. Who are you really hurting in the end? You've got to have patience. Sometimes, Melvin, yesterday. Yesterday, in fact, I was waiting on the Bible study to start. And apparently, they were having some type of technical difficulties. Bible study didn't start on time. I don't know, maybe 10, 15 minutes later. Suppose I didn't have patience to wait. See, that's what we do in all situations. We just say, I just can't wait. Ah, this is taking too long. But God has been working with me. And even though there are some urgent things, see, God knows what's urgent in our lives. There are some urgent things that I need to happen. And there have been instances where I'm trying to do everything I can to make certain things happen. And God will let me know, step back. Let me see if you will trust me to make it happen. This is how God will deal with us when we put ourselves in the position to trust him, to rely on him. So he says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence. In verse 36, for ye have need of patience. Read for us, Melvin.
That after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise.
You just do what God told you to do. And after a while, Bible said, he that shall come will come. That's what he said right here. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come. We talked about it, I believe it was Monday night in Bible study. He shall supply, the Bible said, my God shall supply all your need. He's coming to do it. Do you have the faith and the patience to wait on him, though? He sees that it's getting so close. He sees it. That if you don't get the money you need, the lights are going to get cut off. He sees that's happening. He sees whatever it is. Sometimes the lights do get cut off. Whatever it is, he sees it. But the Bible still declares, he that shall come, he's coming. If we wait on the Lord, he will renew our strength. You know, getting weak. Nobody wants to get weak. When a baby is born, parents are trying to help their child get strong. They're trying to teach the child how to be strong enough to speak. See, people are using muscles even when we speak. It takes a level of strength to speak. It takes a level of strength to walk. It takes a level of strength to do everything that we do. He said, if you wait on the Lord, he will renew your strength. We don't believe that, Melvin. We don't believe if we be patient with God, he's going to give us those necessary things that we're trying so hard to get. Now, I'm not telling you don't do anything now. Because I've been thinking about that a lot. A lot of times we want to not do anything and expect God to do something and we're not doing anything. But there are certain points of time where God will say, step back and let me do something here. Let me. See, we have a part and God has a part. But we want to overstep God and do his part and ours. And don't do either part right. We mess both parts up. So we've got to learn to be patient with him. Pick us up in that next verse, Melvin.
Verse 37 or 38?
30. We can just read on down. Keep going, 37.
All right. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry.
He's not going to wait always. He might be waiting now. God knows what you have need of. Bible said, cast all your care upon him. He careth for you. It's not that he doesn't care because he hasn't did it yet. He's trying you. He's trying your faith. But the only way you can have patience added to you, you've got to be tried. You've got to go through something and see God deliver you and say, wow, I stepped back. I was trying to do this. I was trying to do that. And when I stepped back and let God do it, he gave the increase. You know what? The next time you get in that situation, now you have something to work with. You have an example. You have experience that you can lean on. Now you can have a little bit more patience. And then the next time you're added a little bit more. And the next time he adds a little bit more. That's why he said add. We always say 1 + 1 = 2. See, you're not always adding 1 + 1,000. Sometimes it's small amounts. God is working on you day by day. Add to your faith. We need to add patience. Keep reading for us, Melvin.
Now the just shall live by faith.
Now this is what God's people, we are going to live by this. The just shall live by faith. Read for us, Melvin.
But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him.
He's still pushing this point that somebody is going to lose their faith. He's still pushing this point. You know, I was talking with one of the people of God earlier, and we began to talk about a man that lost faith. A man that started out in God's kingdom and ended up outside of God's kingdom. See, many people start. Many people start out by having faith. But not everybody's going to want to go through those trials. Not everybody's going to add knowledge, add virtue, add temperance. Not everybody's going to add patience. And if, you know, the reason he's saying this is because if you don't add those things that we were told to add, I believe that was in Peter. If you don't add those things, you're going to go back. You're not going to finish this race. He said, run this race that is set before us with patience. You won't finish if you never add the things that God said. Add. This, everything he told us is necessary. He didn't tell us to do things that were optional if we wanted to be saved. He told us what to do in order to be saved. People have that debate about baptism. Is it necessary? Is it not necessary? It's necessary. God didn't tell you to do optional things. What are we talking about here? He never told you to do optional. He never said, look, praise me if you like. You can still be saved now if you don't. No, he never said, go to church if you like. You can still be saved without it. No, he never said, study the scripture if you like. Hear the word of God if you'd like. Yes, he gives you the choice now. But these things are necessary. The Bible declares it was necessary for Jesus to be crucified. It was not optional. If we were going to be saved, there was no way around it. He had to be. So why then do we think we don't have to do anything to be saved? Someone has deceived us. Adding to your faith, the things he declared we should add, it's not optional. Every day we ought to be adding these things, because if you don't, you're going to turn around. The devil is going to trick you. I thank God for his word, because it is his word that's keeping me continuing on. Somebody would trick me a long time ago, especially listening to people. People are coming up with all types of garbage. I seen a preacher a while back. See, you got to be careful out here. I'm telling you these things to warn you, to cause you not to fall victim for these things that are going on. Just because someone has a nice church building, they've got all these followers. Oh, wow, they baptized so-and-so. That doesn't mean anything. You better add to your faith, your belief in God, some knowledge. And know that some of these things people are doing, God didn't say do that. I seen a man selling, preacher, selling a class, about three classes, on being married, being single, and being divorced. I couldn't believe it. People are making merchandise of you. They're making money off of you. Look, you come on here. We've talked about these things, and God knows how many Bible studies. We can talk about whatever you want to talk about. You want to talk about being single? I'm not going to charge you $20. Man charging $25. Lord help us. Somebody's deceiving you. You want to talk about can you be divorced or not? Look, ask a question. It's in this book. We can deal with it. I've talked about it many times. We can deal with it again. And you will not be charged $25. He said, freely ye have received, freely give. That's what Jesus told his disciples. See, everybody's not a disciple of God. Everybody's not actually following God. They might have some faith and believe that God exists, but they hadn't added knowledge. They have not became a doer of the word. So if somebody charging you $25 to hear a Bible study, make sure they get the link, because we've got so many Bible studies that you can go back and listen to for the rest of your life, and you won't be charged $25 to do so. Now, if you'd like to donate $25, look, we appreciate it. It costs us money to bring these things to you. We're streaming to so many different platforms, I can't even keep them all straight in my head. But Melvin does a fantastic job of making sure the audio quality is good. We've got software that we're using to do that, microphones that have been purchased. Melvin purchased things to do that. And we're trying to make sure that we bring the word of God to you truthfully, sincerely, without compromise. But you must know somebody is out there. Bible calls them wolves in sheep clothing. Look good, sound good. They got way more views than we got, Melvin. They've got way more comments, way more shares. But they don't have the true word of God. So may God bless you guys. May God continue to keep you guys. And I pray that you would add patience into who you are. Sure, you might be 40 years old, 50 years old, 60 years old, whatever age you might be. Don't believe that lie that somebody said you can't teach an old dog new tricks. You better start learning how to have new patience. If you want to truly receive all God has for you, add to yourself. You owe it to yourself to add things, add godly things. May God bless you guys. At this time, I'll turn it back into the hands of Mel.
Thank you, Minister Banks. Great message, as always. Excuse me. We do have several more comments. Kim says, praise the Lord to all. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Sister Rosie says, praise the Lord. Sister Vanilla and Sister Cynthia, they both said, praise the Lord. So praise the Lord to y'all. Thank you so much. We hope you enjoyed the message. Let's see here. David says, it's down in the valley where we really grow and become the people that the Lord Jesus called and purposed us to be. If the Lord Jesus will bring us to it, he is able and will deliver us through it. And also he said, makes me think about those three Hebrew boys that the Lord Jesus delivered through the fire. And amen. And I hope I'm not mispronouncing the name, but is it Kent? They said, amen, add to me, increase me, more faith, more patience. Lord, make me over again. And, you know, that's what we should always be saying. I know I've had my struggles with anger and with patience, and I may not be where I want to be, but progress has been made, and I keep making those steps to get better at those things, because those are real problems. Susie says, I appreciate your help for all of us. And we appreciate everyone who tunes in. Like we always say, you could be anywhere else and I'm doing anything else, but you see fit to spend some time with us as we try to bring the word of God to you. And like Tony said, we may not have the most views, but the word of God, it says people will have itchy ears. They only want to hear what they want to hear. You know, we have a question and we may not go to a certain preacher because we're going to go to the one who we know are going to say what we want to hear. One of my favorite verses, Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 10, where people are saying, don't speak to us the truth, speak to us deceit, speak to us lies, because we want to be lied to. The lie sounds much more great, much better than the truth. The lie says we can do whatever we want and still make it to heaven. You know, the truth is, oh, you must be baptized, you must repent, receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, evidence of speaking in tongues, you have to give up this, you have to give up that. And we look at that as, oh, that's such bad news, but it's great news. Mike says, thank you for all the hard work each week. It's making more of a difference than you realize. And we appreciate that. We appreciate every message, every comment, but we really appreciate when we are making a difference, because that's what it's about. Reaching people. Through the power of technology, we can talk to people throughout cities, states, countries, even outside, all around the world instantly. In the Bible, they had to get on donkeys and travel God knows how far. But I do thank you guys for the comments. That's all that I have to add. I would like to say thank or remind you guys that we do have Bible studies every Monday evening on Zoom at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. We would love to see you guys there. And I don't think I see any more comments. If I have missed your comments, I apologize. But thank you to the ones who have commented and who have watched, who are going to watch, and those of you who will listen on the podcast or on the website. And the website is jmsbible.com. You can listen or watch all of our Bible studies that we've done in the past. We had one very similar to this about going on 5 years now, called Patience and Obedience. One of my favorite Bible studies that we've done. Well, we talked about Job and everything that he went through, but at the end of that story, he got back way more than he lost. It's really inspiring. I encourage everyone to go and listen to that. So as I always like to say, rejoice in the Lord always, because today's tribulations are tomorrow's testimonies. Count it all joy. And again, count it all joy. There's reason to be joyful in the midst of every single storm. If the Lord blesses and says the same, we'll see you guys next Thursday evening with another topic coming straight from the word of God. Until then, you guys have a happy, safe, and blessed weekend. And thank you once again for tuning in. Thank you for listening to our weekly Bible study podcast. We hope you enjoyed this evening's message. My name is Melvin Corners, here along with Minister Tony Banks. You can catch these Bible studies live on Facebook every Thursday evening at 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time at facebook.com/JMS Bible. We have Zoom Bible studies every Monday evening at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Also, check out our website at jmsbible.com. There, you can listen to all of our in-person, Zoom, and live stream messages along with every scripture we've ever covered. Lastly, we have been getting a lot of questions about how people can donate. We have finally opened up a Cash App if you find it in your heart to leave a donation, because running these Bible studies takes money, which Tony and I have been paying since we first started. That name is $JoyStorm12. We appreciate each and every single donation, no matter how small. And remember to rejoice in the Lord always.